Well, now we know. All of you really suffer from cabin fever. I'm glad that you were able to venture out this morning and make it safely to us. Let's have a prayer. Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. When I was in college, a friend of mine and I studied abroad in Costa Rica. Most weekends after our classes were over, she and I would travel together throughout the country. Now, I have to tell you, my friend was fluent in Spanish. She was a Spanish major. She could pretty much talk to anybody and was very, very fluent. But up until that point, I'd only had a couple of years of high school Spanish, and my skills were basically limited to telling you my name and telling you that I don't speak Spanish. On the other hand, I was pretty adept at reading maps, and I'm really pretty good about finding my way around. My friend, on the other hand, has a terrible sense of direction. We used to joke that she could get lost between her house and our school, and they were on the same street. On our own, each of us would have had a really hard time getting around. But together, we made a pretty good team. Quite literally, we needed each other. All of us need companions for our travels. Whether it's someone who can drop us off at the airport or friends we meet at our destination, we all need others to support us on our journey. Even folks who do solo treks around the world need to plan stops where they can rest and fill up on supplies, maybe take a shower and enjoy a hot meal, all thanks to the support and care of others. If you haven't noticed, or if you haven't been here, this month we've been talking about pilgrimage. Michael Williams and a group from our church have been in the Holy Land, and hopefully they'll return in the next day or two. But pilgrimage is actually going to be a focus for us, for our congregation throughout the year. You see, we're always on a pilgrimage. Our faith is a journey. At least it's meant to be. And we all need places along the way where we can rest and fill up on what our souls need, start afresh, and maybe even enjoy a hot meal. So this year we're talking about pilgrimage as a way to draw attention to learning and doing and being and caring on our journey of faith. And all pilgrims need support and care for their journey. In our scripture lesson today, Paul introduces the church at Corinth to a metaphor about the body. And actually, he's not really introducing it. The comparison of the body with a community of people is one that the Corinthians probably actually were very familiar with. It was a common theme in classical literature. In Roman society, the metaphor of the body was often used to maintain hierarchy among the social classes and keep those lower classes in their place. The brain, for example, could be understood as so much more important than some of those lesser, less essential parts of the body. Those lowly parts should just be grateful that they have a brain telling them what to do, right? It makes sense. Really, where would any of us be without a brain? Just ask the scarecrow. But Paul twists that meaning and turns it on its head and instead points out the significance of those so-called lowly parts. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? His point is that in the body of Christ, all parts are significant. All parts are important. All parts are interdependent. In the body of Christ, we need each other. In her commentary on this text, Pastor Raewyn Whiteley reminds us that we come to the water of baptism as individuals, independent and relatively self-contained. We come out of that water changed. Our identity is no longer solitary. We can no longer truly be known without reference to that community into which we have been incorporated, the body of Christ, the church. Sarah Scott, is no longer just Sarah Scott. She is a part of the body of Christ, a beautiful addition. In the passage just prior to this one, Paul offers a discourse on the gifts of the Spirit. Nancy preached on this passage last week. To each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, Paul says. In other words, each of us has been given gifts, not merely for the sake of having them, but so that we might share them for the common good within the church. We're not meant to do this faith thing on our own. We're Christ's body, each of us gifted, each of us important, all of us interdependent. We need each other. But that's such a countercultural idea, isn't it? We live in a society that celebrates independence, self-sufficiency, and picking yourself up by your bootstraps. Needing others can be seen as a sign of weakness at best and laziness at worst. Now, independence isn't all bad, after all. Independence and self-sufficiency can be really helpful and valuable traits. But taken too far, they can also disconnect us from ourselves and others in ways that aren't helpful or healthy. If one member suffers, Paul says, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. But what does he mean by that? What does it really mean to suffer with one another? I struggle with that question all the time, and I'm in the congregational care business. When other people suffer, whether they're dealing with illness or grief or financial troubles or anything else, it's so hard to know what to say. We want to fix things, but we can't, or we don't know how. And we don't want to offend people by infringing on their independence or making them think that we're just trying to be nosy. So we say, let me know if you need anything, and we leave it at that. But the problem with that offer, and believe me, I've said that a lot, is that it requires the person needing care to be proactive, to know what they need, and to be assertive in asking for it. And sometimes they just don't have the capacity to do that. And in the end, isn't that phrase kind of a distancing thing? It allows me to feel better about offering help without actually having to step toward their pain and enter into their suffering with them. It's so much easier to keep our distance than to get in the trenches with others where things can get awkward and messy. And yet, we're called to be the body of Christ. And Christ is already there in the trenches with them. Eugene Peterson offers this paraphrase of Paul's words. If one part hurts, every part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. When we involve ourselves in the hurt of others, when we enter into their suffering with them, we can also be involved in the healing. Now, does that mean that we can make someone's illness go away or fix their relationships or bring their loved one back? No, of course not. But God has given each of us gifts for the common good. Each of us has something to offer another person, even if it's simply the assurance that he or she doesn't suffer alone. In her book, My Grandfather's Blessings, Rachel Naomi Remen says, perhaps the most important thing we bring to another person is the silence in us. Not the sort of silence that is filled with unspoken criticism or hard withdrawal. The sort of silence that is a place of refuge, of rest, of acceptance of somebody as they are. We are all hungry for this other silence. It's hard to find. In its presence, we can remember something beyond the moment, a strength on which to build a life. Silence is a place of great power and healing. Silence is God's lap. Have you ever heard the phrase, God with skin on? We are the body of Christ. We have the awesome privilege and responsibility of being God with skin on to one another. If one part hurts, we don't shy away, but we enter into the suffering because we know that God can work through us to bring about healing. and we need each other. And then there's our own need for care. Opening ourselves up to receiving care from others is sometimes, I think, even harder than knowing how to care for them. We don't want to be a burden on anybody. We don't want to make anybody go out of their way to do something for us. And we really don't want to admit that we don't have it all together, that we might not be able to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, or that we might have lost our boots altogether. It can seem easier to suffer in silence, to decline genuine offers of help and care, than to share our troubles with others. In her book, Searching for Sunday, Rachel Held Evans offers this reflection. My mother, she says, used to tell me that we weren't the type of people to air our dirty laundry. What she meant was good Southern girls didn't go around talking about their troubles or divulging their secrets. But this is a cultural idiom, not a Christian one. We Christians don't get to send our lives through the rinse cycle before showing up to church. We come as we are. No hiding, no acting, no fear. We come with our materialism, our pride, our petty grievances against our neighbors, our hypocritical disdain for those judgmental people in the church next door. We come with our fear of death, our desperation to be loved, our troubled marriages, our persistent doubts, our preoccupation with status and image. We come with our addictions to substances, to work, to affirmation, to control, to food. We come with our differences, be they political, theological, racial, or socioeconomic. We come in search of sanctuary, a safe place to shed the masks and exhale. We come to air our dirty laundry before God and everybody, because when we do it together, we don't have to be afraid. Indeed, we are the body of Christ. We actually honor God and one another when we're honest about our hurts and our hard times. That might seem counterintuitive because our culture tells us that showing our vulnerabilities is a sign of weakness. But we are part of the body of Christ, the same Christ who took on the vulnerability of human skin, the same Christ who entered into our suffering for our sake, the same Christ who defeated death in the name of love. It's part of our DNA as Christians to open ourselves up to loving and being loved. And what is caring but love in a tangible form? When we accept care from others, we give them the opportunity to be God with skin on to us, to use their gifts to participate in our healing. Will our physical, emotional, or spiritual burdens go away when we do this? Not necessarily. But we won't have to carry our burdens alone. And maybe, just maybe, we'll help one another grow through the experience. Reverend Dr. Janet Hunt is a pastor who says, "We are indeed Christ's body together, you and I. This is who we are. This is who we are privileged to ever more deeply become. It will be a journey worth taking, even or especially as we step into or towards pain in ourselves or in another. We won't be worse for it. No, the promise is that in the end, the whole body will be better and stronger for it, and even more fully all that God intends us to be." In our pilgrimage of faith this year, may we seek out companions for our journey. May we care for others, offering our gifts for the common good. And may we be open to receiving care. We are, after all, the body of Christ, God with skin on. We belong to one another. We need each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.